We have a wonderful opportunity to gather together, to assemble as we have this morning, as we have offered our praise and our honor and our glory up to our God, our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We come to bring this worship before Him. And as we have approached all of these things, we hope that we are truly focused on what we have been doing. And as we're going to open the Word of God, that we might focus on it and think about the many wonderful things that He has revealed to us. It's good to have those that are visiting with us today, and we are very thankful that you have come to be with us. Our purpose, as always, is to worship in spirit and in truth. I would like to mention, again, Charlie mentioned our gospel meetings that are coming up. One, we have Brother Brandon Trout coming to speak to us this evening. He was one that I could not fit into our week of gospel meetings, and he was the closest one, so I was hoping to be able to get him to come maybe on a Sunday night, and it's worked out that way. So he'll be here this evening. He preaches down in Somerville, and we hope that you'll be here to be an encouragement to him. And we hope each one of these men will tell us a little bit about their work as they are with us. Again, we are supporting them, and I'm sure they will encourage us. And we hope you have in mind the meetings coming up beginning next Sunday. And again, have made your plans and are inviting others, as we've talked about, to come and be with us, to worship with us, to study with us. This morning, we would like to talk about the idea, I need some excitement. I need some excitement. We get tired of the same daily grind. We're going through the same motions, the same habits. You got up this morning, you probably took a shower, you got ready, same old stuff you do every day, eat breakfast, probably the same thing again, coming to services. Weekdays we get up and go to work or go to school. It's tiring. We get bored with life many times. We need to do something different. We feel we deserve this excitement. Sometimes we can understand this, and this is something that is good. But we'd like to talk about four occasions, four places that maybe we need to consider if we need excitement, like some people want excitement. I need some excitement in our worship services. It's as we're assembling this morning. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to do the same thing over and over and over. If you come back this evening, we'll do the same thing. If you come back on Wednesday evening, we'll have Bible study. I need something different, many people say. Do we understand that worship service is not for us, but is for God? We mention from time to time that God is our audience. You are not the audience. You are here as participants. You are here as ones that are bringing your glory and honor to God in our worship services. We offer our praises from the heart and the fruit of our lips. It's not about me, and it's not about you. We are God's creation. Go back to the book of Psalms, several places in the Psalms, it looks at the sun, moon, even the stars. That as the sun rises, as the sun rose this morning, this is giving glory to God because He created the sun or the moon at night or whatever it might be. God's creation gives glory to Him. We are God's creation. That's really all that we are. He has created us. And the great purpose that He has for us is to offer Him this honor and praise and to glorify Him. He's given us the time that we can come together and do exactly this. Worship is not about me and it's not about you. It's about giving glory to God. We need something different, many people say. We need to do away with the traditions. No more two songs, a prayer, a song, the lesson, and another prayer. And we did it differently this morning. And that is fine, that's good. But it doesn't mean just because something has been done before we need to do away with it because it might be tradition. But if you begin something and do it regularly, again, all you're doing is starting a new tradition. There's nothing wrong with tradition as long as it is scriptural. I think many of the things that we do have been done over the years because we find that this is the best way and easiest way to do those things. And again, as long as we do them in a scriptural manner, there's nothing wrong with doing something different. Do we need something different in singing? Maybe we need to raise our hands like you maybe can see on the televisions, or maybe a little bit of hand clapping in rhythm as we sing. You know, that would give us a little bit of excitement in our worship service. How about instrumental music? There are several churches of Christ, and I saw something just this last week about a congregation adding instruments of music, calling themselves the Church of Christ. Instruments of music would probably liven up our worship service the way a lot of people look at it. Although I've only been to, I guess, a couple of denominational services. But usually what happens is people sit and listen to the instrument and don't sing. They're not participating. Either that or you have a special band or you have a chorus that are singing. And again, it doesn't really help the worship service. It's not a worship service. Instrumental music usually hampers what needs to be done in a worship service. Do we need to do these things for an excitement? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and verse 19. Paul says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord." Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? There is no outward manifestation of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Just because somebody may run up and down the aisles or jump up and down, that does not mean they have the Holy Spirit as they look at. This gives some excitement to a lot of people for a worship service. Paul says to be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit is the revelation of God, what He has revealed to us. To be filled with that. That way we can understand our psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and we're making melody with our heart, or from our heart. That's where it must come from. People are looking for excitement. Think about the words of the song. Have a feeling of what is being said, of what you are saying to one another, what you're offering to God. That should bring an excitement to us. On Facebook, some of you may have seen a service of a denominational congregation. People are running up and down the aisles. They're getting up and jumping. And there's one fellow that runs all the way down the aisle. It's situated very much like our building. Comes to this point, does a front flip into the baptistry. That got everybody excited. Do we need to do that? Would that be something that would bring excitement to our worship? Our excitement needs to come from within. It's from our heart, from our minds that we are worshiping. How about the Lord's Supper? I need some excitement in my worship services as far as the Lord's Supper. We partake in the Lord's Supper. Much the same thing is said every Sunday. We talk about the same unleavened bread and fruit of the vine. We do all of this over. It gets very dull and very boring to some people. You know, it's too bad that those who call themselves Christians can't come and focus on the Lord's suffering and death for just a few minutes. But many times that's what happens. Do we need to dim the lights? Do we need to make some kind of feeling about the Lord's Supper that maybe we don't have? Maybe sing a hymn softly as we partake. There are those that have done that. Do we need to sit around tables eating a large piece of unleavened bread and drinking from a large cup of the fruit of the vine? This again has been done. Well, it makes me feel closer to what the Lord did. Is that what He wanted? Is that what He intended? We can see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and Paul is writing here about the abuses that the church at Corinth had actually made concerning the Lord's Supper. He says, verse 20, "Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. What, do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall we say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you. That's what the church at Corinth had made. They had made it a literal supper. To come and eat. One is hungry, one is drunk, one is filled. You've brought it in all this way. Again, we could bring excitement maybe with large portions of what we are to do. And as we said, we only spend a very short amount of time thinking about the Lord's suffering and death. Worship is work. Worship is work. If you're not listening and understanding what I'm saying, or the songs, maybe the words that are coming out of your mouth, the prayers that are offered, you're not worshiping. You may be physically sitting here in a pew, but physically sitting here does not mean that you are worshiping. Worshiping truly is work. How about saying the amen? I need some excitement in worship services. I need to stir people up so they will say amen. Can I get an amen? I hope not. If we agree with what is said, then we should say amen. That's what a lot of people consider. When would we not say only amen? When would we not say amen? Only if we disagree. If someone is preaching or teaching in a public assembly like this, and I say something that everybody should agree with that thinking, everybody should say amen. And every time I say something that they agree with, everybody should say amen. It should be a continuous amen, 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 one right after another, if this is the way that we are to use it. But what do we have authority for as far as saying amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the only thing that I can find in the Scriptures as an occasion to say amen is very simply at the end of a prayer. It's not while somebody is preaching or singing or any other portion of our worship services. It would only be at the end of a prayer. In 1 Corinthians 14, as we said, looking at verse 14, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays and my mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the mind also. Otherwise, if you bless in the spirit only, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted say the amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not know what you are saying?" He's looking at miraculous spiritual gifts. If someone is praying in another language and you don't understand what they are saying, then you could not say the amen. You don't know if you agree with what they said. You don't know if it is right what they said. But the point is, if you do understand that, then at the end of the prayer you would say amen. This is the authority we have. And I like to hear the amens, not during a sermon, but at the end of a prayer. If you listen to the prayer, if you understand it, if you agree with the prayer, I believe you should say amen. This is the authority we have for saying the amen. And again, it probably would stir people up. Sometimes it might wake people up for there to be an amen said. I don't think that's the purpose. In fact, I think it can be very disruptive in a worship service. And I think Paul again gives us some instructions on that. Closer to the end of the chapter here, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29. Again, Paul is regulating some miraculous spiritual gifts. "Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others pass judgment. But if a revelation is made to another who is seated, the first one must keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be exhorted. And the spirits of prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." If you've got several in an assembly, and they have this gift of prophecy, he says, let two or three use that, one at a time. not one overlapping another, not confusion in any way. And he goes on to say that the spirits are subject to the prophets themselves. In other words, they're not compelled to say or do anything. They have control of that. I've talked to people about this, and they say, oh, the Spirit just overcomes me, and I've just got to do this right now. No. Paul says that's not true. Each one that has this gift of prophecy is able to control what they do and what they say. It's not that they lose control at any time. Paul is very clear. And he says that God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. That's what it would be, confusion. Add a little bit of excitement to our worship services. I think there's probably people that would enjoy that very much in many places. I hope we understand that we do the same thing because it is within what God has revealed. As I was thinking about this lesson, it's been, I guess, several weeks in thinking about this. One of the things I thought of was the Ray Stevens song, The Mississippi Squirrel Revival. Probably most of you remember that. And he begins pointing out that when he was a kid, when he was a child, they would go to Mississippi every summer. That's something I did. We lived up north, and every summer we'd go see my grandmothers who lived in Mississippi. And Ray Stevens goes on in the song that he caught a squirrel one summer, and he put it in a shoebox, and he snuck it into church. And it goes on, if you know the song, of all the things that took place there. And when I was probably about 10 or 11, we went to a service of one of the denominations that my grandmother was a member of. And most all of the family was there, and I think probably my uncle was preaching. And the only time I'd ever really been with them, and it was not on a Sunday, and went in, sat down, it was very dark. And every time I think about this song, I can just imagine it taking place right there. Of all the things that took place. And he goes on in the chorus of the song. It says, the day the squirrel went berserk in the first self-righteous church in the sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. You know, sometimes maybe churches do need to be revived, but I don't think that's the way. We need excitement in our minds, in our hearts, ways of worshiping. Not in the outward sense. We do need to enjoy and celebrate our worship services. I need some excitement. People say, I need some excitement in my marriage. I need something different. I'm not satisfied with my husband or with my wife. I want to be happy like everyone else is. You read Dear Abby. We've been married for, you know, fill in however many more years that you have. And we've grown apart, or our interests are not the same. We don't love each other anymore. We've fallen out of love. I want to be happy. And Dear Abby says, yeah, go ahead and be happy. Divorce, go away, do whatever you want to do. I want to be happy like everybody else. This is a very great temptation today. There are many people that are not willing to work at marriage. And if we are marrying, we are entering into an agreement or a covenant that should be very, very important to us. Paul writes about that, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I believe, picking up in this portion of the epistle, Paul is answering questions. Paul's answering questions they have sent to him. Now, concerning the things about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. And if you go on down to about verse 26 here, he's pointing out during the present distress. If you're not married, he's going to say, don't seek to be married because of persecutions. This is not an all-time thing, but I think he is giving a foundation of marriage. But because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife and each woman is to have her own husband. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another, except by agreement for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer, and come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Paul very plainly says that Satan will tempt you if you're not fulfilling your duties one to another as a husband and a wife. And to a Christian, we need to take this very seriously as we are in our marriage agreement. But many people say, that's not what I want now. I want to be happy in this life. So men and women begin to look for something or someone else. They have an affair. And you know, an affair is kind of a mild word for adultery. Sexual immorality, that's what it is. Many in the Lord's church become involved in sexual immorality. In preaching almost 45 years, I've seen this. I've seen this way too many times. I've seen this among members of the Lord's church. And I know of those that it has occurred in the Lord's church. This is a very sad thing. They break up their marriage and their home for a lack of excitement, shattering God's design by their divorce and creating a broken home for their children. All because of the excitement that I want. Several years ago, there was a preacher that I knew that was very well known, that held gospel meetings in many places. He became involved with one of the women in the congregation. He would go stay in a motel for his meetings, and she would stay in the same motel. This was a disgrace to the church. This was a disgrace to the Lord. There is great fleshly excitement in such perversion. Don't misunderstand that. There is. And we can be engulfed and swallowed in it very easily if we are not careful. As we are married, we must intend to fulfill that commitment. I think it does help us to understand, though, of God's creation, of God's design. In Matthew chapter 5, and I know we used this passage last Sunday morning, and I used it talking about the immodesty of dress, and again, how that attracts a woman's immodesty, especially attracts a man. Jesus said concerning the old law, you've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out, throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. God has designed man and woman this way. Man is visually stimulated by the form of the woman. Understand that. Women need to understand that. Again, as they go out dressed modestly. Women as wives need to understand that for their husbands also. And men need to understand this. And as we talked about looking away from what is immodest last week, again, that is what the Christian man must make up his mind to do. This is the reason for the porn industry, especially catering to men. It used to be called men's magazines. Well over 50 years. They were put out for men because women, again, visually attract men, without a doubt. Billions of dollars are spent on pornography. This shows you, again, what is going on. And it's getting worse in our country and in our nation. And again, if we are a Christian, if we are a Christian man or woman, we should have nothing to do with pornography. It is trying to add an excitement that God condemns and causes a lack of fulfillment to our marriage partner. Understand, as Christians, how we need to conduct ourselves. These are lusts and desires that can bring about adultery, and many times do. And I know exactly of individuals that have succumbed to this in this county. Don't think it can't happen to you. We each have to be fulfilling our part of the marriage. We need excitement, but not from someone or something else. Let me hurry on. I need excitement in church programs. I need to stir things up. As we talked about, church is too boring. Worship service is too boring. We need something outside of these. I need something different. We need something for children, programs. We need something for the young people. Many feel we must have programs to interest them. And what we look at, we are competing with other churches, and the gospel is not enough. If we're going to attract people, we've got to have some kind of program, many think. There was never any kind of church program like this when I was growing up. We heard and understood the gospel, believed and were baptized, and began living the life of a Christian. These things take discipline. Many today want an easier way. I want to be able to slide into Christianity. Don't make it hard. Don't make it difficult. If it is, there's a lot of people that are not going to come to the Lord in that way. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." Simplicity and devotion. Devotion is something that I think has to be seen at all times. I observe some young men at school, and I'm not talking at all about those that are of this congregation. I observe some who preach or teach at the congregations they are in from time to time, and yet in chapel they show no interest at all. Not singing, not listening. Too many have taken it on to be a show. What I can do, let people look at me if I'm in the limelight. If I'm not, then my spiritual interests are just not there. This is not a devotion. This is not a discipline for the Lord. Today, many have the social halls and need the gymnasiums, the basketball, softball, puppet ministries, clowns advertising picnics and play days. You don't think that happens? We were out visiting my brother-in-law in Colorado, and we looked for a conservative congregation even within 60 miles. And there was one supposedly meeting, and it was in a house, and they were not meeting on that Sunday. We went with them to this larger institutional church. Closing announcements, this was a clown that got up, dressed as a clown. He was talking about giving blood. He was talking about their picnics and their play days. All of these things are coming up. This is what they were there for. They weren't there for the worship service, probably most of them. This is what they were there for. And you know, if we're going to have excitement, we're going to need these things. But I can't find that any place in the Word of God. I think we can see what the Lord said in John chapter 6 and verse 44. Of the importance of the simplicity of the gospel. When he says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." This is what we need. We need teaching. We need Bible studies so everyone will know the Lord. We need to be able to strengthen our faith so we can understand the daily difficulties of life. And let me tell you something. Basketball and puppet shows ain't going to do that. They're not going to strengthen your faith. They're something you play at. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of people are doing, is they are playing at church. More seem to be interested in classes where they can express what they think, instead of gaining an understanding of God's Word. I had a cousin of mine. She divorced. And it was not a scriptural divorce. My uncle knew that, and he was very saddened by that. But the church that she was attending, she went to their classes that were for those who had been divorced. It made her feel better to express all of these things. And they taught her, it's all right, you can go ahead and remarry. And she did. And again, my uncle, who had been an elder of the Lord's church, knew that was not right. This is the kind of things that people want. These are the kind of classes that many times that are had. I know sometimes studying the Word of God is tedious. It's hard. It's something you've got to work at. Many people don't want to do that. But this is what will strengthen us when we do have problems. One last point very quickly this morning. I need some excitement in my everyday life. And everybody will agree with that. We need something differently to do from time to time. And this can be good. We see at times even the Lord got away. We look forward to the weekends, and many times as far as the weekends, we include the first day of the week, which is not the weekend. And we look forward to our vacations. We want to get away. We want to leave the drudgery of everyday life, free to do what I want to do, and many times leaving God behind. If I'm not at home, there's no need for me to worship. Nobody's going to miss me. Nobody's going to know that I'm not there. I can go and do what I want to do. In fact, I don't even need to pack church clothes. That gives me a good excuse. We miss many opportunities of teaching. Those of our family, even our children, or maybe sometimes even our parents, when we would get away and we get away from God. We want excitement from the world. Our joy is brought to us from the physical things of life and not the spiritual. Our children and our grandchildren see these desires. They understand what is most important to us. Are you ever excited about going to worship services? Are you ever excited about going to gospel meetings? Ever excited to open the Word of God and see what it says or find something and you just can't wait to tell somebody else about it? Or do these things only come from the physical? There are many things in this life that God has given us that we can enjoy, but they should never supersede the spiritual things. And we have sports. They bring great excitement, the feeling of competing and winning. I enjoy these things. There's nothing wrong with those things. But do we ever have some of those feelings as far as spiritually? I remember very specifically in my life a moment in time, I think it was 1984, that the Boston Celtics were playing the Los Angeles Lakers. I could not stand and still cannot stand the Lakers. And Larry Bird and the Celtics beat them. And I literally jumped up and hollered at the TV when the game was over. That's how excited I was. I never get that excited. But that was one time I really did. And I've thought about that moment for many years, close to 30. How many times have I been that excited spiritually? How many times are the things that I can bring in my life that would show to others that I am excited? How many people know about your excitement with the church here at Capshaw? That you are attending here, the things that we are trying to do. Spreading the gospel. The people that you work with. Do they know this about you? Do we find excitement, joy in spiritual things? And again, our children and our grandchildren understand where we find excitement. And if they don't see it in the Lord's church, they may not be following in the Lord's church. I need excitement in my everyday life. We find excitement in Acts chapter 3 and verse 39 of Philip as he had gone to join himself to the chariot of this Ethiopian. That he was reading from Isaiah 53. And the Ethiopian said, "Who is this?" He did not understand. And Philip began at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. And he came to the knowledge that he needed to be baptized. And they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no longer, but went on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing over forgiveness of sins. How many times this past week have you had forgiveness of sins? How many times have you sinned? How many times have you asked for forgiveness? Does that not bring a joy to you? Is that not something you can tell other people about? He went on his way rejoicing. Why are we not rejoicing in our spiritual life? 3 John, the only chapter, verse 2 through 4. I had an uncle that would write to my dad. This was before email and Facebook and, you know, all the antiquated things that you used to have to do. He actually wrote. And he would always include at the beginning of his letter this portion from 3 John. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. We've got some friends visiting with us today from Lakeland, Florida. We go back a long ways, know a lot of people. It's very sad to talk about people that have left the church. It's very sad sometimes to consider those that have died in that condition. But it is joyful to think about those that remain, those that are working. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should have a great joy. And that's what John says, I have no greater joy than to hear of his children, those that he'd worked with, lived with, loved, that he has a joy, that he would have an excitement. I need some excitement. But what brings excitement? Is it just that which is physical? Or can we find things to be excited about spiritually? Maybe there's some things we just need to be content with. The way that God has authorized us to worship. The things that we are commanded to do. Sometimes, as we said, people think, well, that's boring. It may be boring, but if it is fulfilling God's law, it should not be boring to us. It should be exciting. Take out your songbooks. Turn to our songbook, to our song of invitation this morning. If you're not a Christian, you have the opportunity to be obedient to the gospel. You have the opportunity, even as that Ethiopian, as he heard the gospel the very first time, he desired to be baptized, had his sins washed away. This is what you could do today and go on your way rejoicing. As a Christian, maybe something in your life you need to change, something that you need to make sure that you are rejoicing about, having an excitement that you're on your way to heaven. That should be exciting to us, just that thought itself. You need to change your life in some way. Come while we stand and while we sing. Live for